struggle to load it, and I went to 35 there. Okay. So then, excuse me, the aftermath. Watergate was a terrible event in American history. I believe that President Nixon did more to undermine the Constitution than any other American ever. I mean, you've got your Aaron Burrs and so forth and so on. But Nixon is President of the United States. And I think all of us, in time, get over a bad president. We've had bad presidents before. And okay, the job didn't work out. I guess the American public made a mistake by electing you to the White House. Okay, all right. But we kind of get over that. But it's tough to get over what Nixon did. Nixon betrayed our trust. And that's one thing that I think most Americans want. Look, I can get over you being a bad president. I can get over you, you know, supporting issues that are not my, you know, you're a Democrat, I'm a Republican, you're a Republican, I'm a Democrat. I can get over that. But this outright dishonesty to this level, I think that's disappointing, got to be disappointing to everybody. All right. But Watergate demonstrated, guess what? The strength of the Constitution. This thing called separation of powers, I guess it worked, because you have abusive power at the executive level and the executive branch to the maximum level. And yet we survived. The country didn't fall apart. We made the adjustment. We got rid of the guilty party, and America went on. And then guess what? We made adjustments. So, number six, the War Powers Act of 1973. Now, wait a minute. The War Powers Act, what does that have to do? How can you connect that with Watergate? Anybody want to try?
It was like a mini Civil War, kind of like the Democrats against the Republicans.
No, that's not the connection. But I appreciate the effort. The War Powers Act limits the power of the president. So, limits on presidential power. It's in foreign affairs, but nevertheless, it limits the powers of the president. Here's how it works. The War Powers Act, prior to the War Powers Act, the president, commander-in-chief, can send American forces anywhere, anytime, any reason, for any length of time. Commander-in-chief, not anymore. Because of the War Powers Act of 1973, and this also, of course, would have been affected by the Vietnam War, right? So now, the president can send troops anywhere, anytime, any reason, for 60 days. And that's it. Without congressional approval for a longer stay. If Congress says no, then the president has 30 days to bring those troops home. So essentially, the president can send troops anywhere, anytime, any reason for 90 days, right? But no more, not for an indefinite amount of time. That's the War Powers Act of 1973, which came about because of the abuse of power in the Watergate scandal and, well, the Vietnam War experience, where we've been forever and ever and ever and not getting anything done. The Freedom of Information Act, well, that kind of says it all right there, right? 1976 allowed much more information out there to be available to the American public. So, lasting images of Watergate. I did the Mark Felt the exposure of Mark Felt as that that secret source. Nixon made the expression at some point, I'm not a crook. And as I said, he had a distinctive voice and distinctive mannerisms. And it's just, I'm not a crook. I'm not a crook. And, you know, of course, that's one of the ironies. Well, yeah, you are. And then there's a Newsweek magazine cover. I might have it on the website. I think I do. And it very cleverly shows, this gets me back to the political cartoonists and how they do their wonderful stuff. It's an aerial view of the White House, but the top of the White House is a tape recorder, one of those old reel-to-reel tape recorders. And just very clever. I mean, that's a lasting image. It's just one of those, you know, there's a bunch of those in history, but that's just one that is just always there. And these tapes, I told you about, the 64 tapes, I told you that Nixon had some colorful language. Not the only president to, you know, have creative language. But whenever they were played, or in newspapers, when you'd see, words, then when they came to the right spot, instead of the word, it would say expletive deleted. And so that's, again, one of those phrases. Try this on your history professor in college. Just say, okay, I'm going to give you a little snippet of history here, and tell me what you associate with that with the most. I mean, and so then expletive deleted. And your history professor, he or she, will say, oh, that's Nixon. That's the tapes. That's Watergate. Yeah, it's just a connection, you know. Yeah, what?
Hopefully.
Oh, they will. They will. Yeah. All right. So America survives the Watergate scandal. And, yeah, that's... Oh, yeah, so the ironies of Watergate. I told you the break-in was needless because Nixon had the election sewn up. And also, that the tapes in the Oval Office were Nixon's idea to begin with. Because he thought, you know, I'll record conversations here for history's sake. And it's like, what? And you didn't think to turn those off or something when you were having some of these conversations? Yeah. So some things that happen in history are just nuts because they're so, yeah, so simplistic and hard, difficult to understand why somebody didn't get it, right? Let's do really quick then that election of 1972, and then we'll be able to, then we'll wrap things up. So, election of 1972, Nixon the incumbent, and for about the 19th time, the American public was unaware of his involvement. So, to ask the question, how in the world are we going to vote for a guy that was involved in Watergate? We didn't know. Okay, so the emerging Democratic opponent is Senator George McGovern from South Dakota, ultra-liberal. McGovern has an impossible task to begin with. So it's one of those situations, if you're a sports person, you'll get this. Imagine the best team in the league playing the worst team in the league, and, you know, upsets can happen, but in order for that to happen, the worst team has to play just a perfect game, right? And the best team maybe has to make a mistake or two, you know, if it's football, maybe has to have a couple fumbles that they lose or whatever. You know, things really have to go right for the underdog to win. That's the case with McGovern and Nixon. And, well, it goes the other way. The big deal is, so McGovern, ultra-liberal, the big thing about McGovern is immediate withdrawal from Vietnam. Like, you know, tomorrow. Nixon believed that America should withdraw, but in a gradual fashion. And more on that tomorrow. Okay, but here's the big deal. So McGovern selects as his running mate Thomas Eagleton from Missouri. And you know how politics are. If you were like got anything in your past, like if you were late to class one time in high school, then you know the opposing party's going to bring that out in the newspaper, that's for sure, and make a big deal out of it. Well, guess what? With Eagleton, years earlier, and I'm not talking two or three, I'm talking a chunk, like 20 years earlier, Eagleton apparently had undergone some pretty severe, pretty aggressive psychotherapy, whatever you would call that. You know what I'm trying to say. And, you know, we're all smart enough. We get it. I mean, there's physical problems. Oh, geez, 20 years earlier, you had a broken leg? Is it still hurt? How are you? You still on crutches? No, it was 20 years ago. It's fixed. Well, that can happen with some emotional and mental distresses as well. People go through periods and then they get it handled. All right. So, but, you know, still, a lot of us are spooked by that for some reason. All right. So, this was brought out. And so, of course, the thinking is, do we want a guy who is, you know, a heartbeat away from the White House that could go bonkers at any minute? You know, which, of course, is, you know, unrealistic. So, you know how politics are. They're going to make a big deal out of it. McGovern initially stands by Eagleton, but then is forced by the party machinery, to replace Eagleton. He can't find a replacement. I mean, imagine that. McGovern is viewed at this time as a sinking ship. Rapidly sinking ship. Not listing a little bit, sinking. No politician wants to be thought of as a loser or associated with a loser. Look, I'm vice presidential candidate, and 4 years ago, 8 years ago, big loser. I was McGovern's vice presidential candidate and lost by a landslide. No politician wants that. That's not good for your future. So, a lot of the leading Democrats turned him down. Edward Kennedy, who was brother of John and Robert, a big politician at the time, no. Abraham Ribicoff, a leading Democrat from Connecticut, no. Hubert Humphrey, former vice president, former Democratic candidate in 68, no. And McGovern and Humphrey were pretty good friends. I mean, in, you know, South Dakota, Minnesota, had developed a pretty good friendship. Edmund Muskie, a leading Democrat from Maine, who had been in the presidential race for a while. No, he can't get anybody to run with him. Find somebody. A guy named Sergeant Shriver. And Sergeant isn't a military rank, it's a name. It's not even spelled the same as the military rank. Sergeant Shriver. Here is Shriver's qualifications. Number one, he was a former ambassador to France. And head of the Peace Corps, I believe, for a while. And relative of the Kennedys. So his sister married one of the Kennedys, something like that, you know? That's it. That's the best that McGovern can do. And so McGovern's sinking ship just sprung, you know, 15 more leaks. And so final result, McGovern wins 17 electoral votes. Massachusetts for 14, that's a given. Massachusetts is Democrat. And the District of Columbia for three. That's it. That's it. And then Mondale runs for the presidency in 84. And he's defeated, a Democrat. He's defeated by an equal landslide. Wow. I mean, so it was hugely... So McGovern and the Democrats really took it on the chin. And ironically, the guy that beats him is... I mean, you lose to, you know, a guy that eventually turns out to be the biggest crook ever in the White House. So anyway, George McGovern. I was a big fan, still am, of George McGovern. He just passed away, I don't know, half dozen years ago, I think, and from Mitchell. I think Mitchell. Yeah. And was a good guy. I mean, in terms of politicians, a good guy. His heart was in the right place. Yeah. I'm not sure how good a president he would have made, but like you and me, he would have been would have brought more integrity anyway to the White House than Nixon. All right. And then I have for you tomorrow Vietnam War, but counterculture era. Minority movements, I mean, that's what the counterculture era is known for, right? And so there are some summaries for you, and a couple of those I might mention, but, you know, there it is for you, and I did this, you know, on purpose. So I said I will need a little bit of time on Monday to sort of wrap things up. So, you know, maybe 15 minutes of this. Okay. All right. So I'll see you tomorrow, I guess. Well, maybe at 3:30 today for some review. All right.